Voices that inspire the extended interview.
I'm Brian Gibson, CEO and founder of i2x Solutions.
So how long have you been running i2x Solutions?
We founded i2x Solutions 10 years ago this November, actually.
And how did you find that path? Like, what led you to that business?
I think if I look at my history, what led me ultimately down this road of kind of consulting and support was the experiences I had in very large enterprise organizations, very large software development companies, having to serve both people internally at the organization and externally, and see that there was a need in a lot of ways to apply niche knowledge as well as, you know, high-level support, which doesn't happen at the small business level.
So what is that in layman terms? What exactly do you do?
We help people with their hardest problems. If I had my backdrop here for our booth, you would see two-word terms as challenge accepted. And that's something that we really do. We focus on taking the hardest technology problems that people have, which is often marrying their business idea to a product, a solution, a technology, and we help them marry those things. And sometimes that means judging a little bit of the idea, and sometimes it means doing the same to the technology and meeting in the middle. But that's essentially what we do every day.
And what do you like about it?
It's helping people. I look at it as one of the things that's most enjoyable, really, about it is seeing that look on people's faces when you've solved a problem that they thought was impossible to solve, or that they didn't have the time or the capacity, the competency to do, and being able to connect those dots. I loved building Legos, and so I would always build something with the Legos from the instructions. I'd tear it apart, I'd put it in the bin, and it would become something new. And so that's kind of just following, I guess, that same path.
Yes, Lego. My son was a huge Lego person, and I think the worst part of Lego is stepping on it in the middle of the night when you didn't see it.
Yes, especially if you had a big build going on and you climb out of bed. Yeah, I've done that a handful of times.
That and the sound of it as you're raking through it to find that one piece you need.
I think the sound there was maybe calming, a little zen-like at times. Yeah, definitely.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in, I guess, Jacksonville, mostly. I was born in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, to be specific. And about 7 years old or so, we moved to Jacksonville. And so through my formative years, all the way through high school, Jacksonville. So seven years old till about 18, 17 years old.
And how did you find your way to Tallahassee?
I did really well on a standardized test in high school. I was at a college prep high school, public college prep high school, out of Jacksonville. And I did well on a test. And so I got the scholarship to anywhere I wanted to go in the state university system. So I had a really close friend of mine who actually wound up being the best man at my wedding. And he's like, I'm going to FSU. And I said, great, we'll be roomies. And that was it. So
you came, and what did you study?
What didn't I study? I had a scholarship, I think I mentioned that, which only pays you for a certain number of credit hours. I went over that. And I paid out of my own pocket. I was working full time at the same time to pay for living expenses. So I started off in psychology. I love psychology. It's always been something that has been a fun sort of exploration of mine, just internally for myself, but also other people. Biology was kind of my first hard science love. And so I moved into biology after a stint in psychology. I went through my junior year, took a field trip to NASA with biology, all kinds of fun stuff. And then I got into computer science. And then I took a little more circuitous route, let's say, and some time away from college to really think about what I wanted to do. And I wound up finishing in technology anyways, in the information sciences and technology. But in between, I studied biochem, chem, physics, foreign languages, fun stuff.
And then when did you decide to open your own business?
It's not my first business. So the first business I started was 2005, I think, or somewhere around that time frame. I was, in that case, unhappy with where I was in corporate America, again, cutting my teeth on things. I think the simple answer is there was an email that was sent to me and informed me I was in a different position, and it was an email that went to the entire company, not just to me. So I understood at that point kind of what my place was in the corporate machine and thought, I have a choice to do this or not. And so I went out on a partnership and did some work with a partnership to build a product. And that ultimately taught me a lot of things about my next ventures. And so eventually it got to the point of, okay, I'm ready. I've got my socks, my shoes on, and I think I can take on this responsibility, not just for myself, but for others too. So freedom, independence.
Yeah. Those are important things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling like you have a little more control of your life.
Absolutely. When an email changes your destiny, I think it's time to wake up and, you know, think about what we've put into this and where's the future for us if such a monumental change can come through some electronic mail, digital item.
So you obviously made a decision to stay in Tallahassee.
Yes.
Why did you just make that decision?
So staying in Tallahassee was pretty easy for me, kind of like my path of coming here, right? I had a friend who was coming here to FSU. I was like, oh, great, I'll tag along. And, you know, he did a PhD in 6 years. I mean, he's just brilliant. So I wound up working here while I was here and found a group, a network, if you will, of people that I was hanging out with and friends and actually wound up meeting at 19, so year two in college, who would be my future wife. And so we started dating very early on in our college career. Both worked at Bennigan's on Appalachian Parkway for the throwback memory that that gives everybody. And we just loved the town. So we finished our degrees and we had jobs and we didn't have a better place to go and really started to see more of the natural beauty in the direction Tallahassee was going in. So it made sense to stay. Cost of living was really big at the time too. So little did I know it was going to be easy to start a business as well. So
when you decided to build your current business, mm-hmm. did you feel like the town was ready for it, like needed those sort of services? Like how does one think about opening or starting their own business?
So I think you have to qualify the town kind of aspect. I think when starting a new business, you always have to think about who you're marketing to, who's your target customer, the prototypical level to market level. And when I started this business, none of our customers are in Tallahassee when I started. 80% of our revenue is actually generated from companies outside of Tallahassee to this day. And so I have to kind of answer that question as, did I have the capability to do what I needed to from Tallahassee to service clients as far away as coast to coast, Canada, Mexico, et cetera, imply the niche knowledge that I had in a way that was useful? So early on, airline was a big deal because of getting in and out of the airport. But as technology took off and has taken off over the last 10, 15 years, broadband access, remote, everything, anything from anywhere to anywhere has made it infinitely easier. So one of the other things is the cost of living, really, and the cost of doing business here. So that has just kind of been serendipitously dropped in my lap, right, that's easy enough to do here and our major client bases outside of Tallahassee. So just a good general environment to start a business in.
That's great. But now you've become sort of part of the community too. Mm-hmm. You have not just work, but you also are engaged. You're in Leadership Tallahassee. I've seen you at other events where it's about, you know, participating and thinking about the future of this community, the health of this community. Yep. What makes you get involved?
So the community is where we live, right? And so getting involved with the community ultimately makes your home, your children's lives, other people's children's lives better. And I think that ultimately is coming from a feeling inside that we have a duty in a lot of ways to where we live. I think that our duty doesn't just stop at the walls of our house or at the line of our property. It's connected to somebody else's property constantly. If you want to look at it from that physical perspective, we're all connected in multiple different ways. And if we're not involved in our community and nobody gets involved in our community, then we don't have a community. We have, I think, some of the lack of civil discourse that we have today, lack of sharing of understanding at the basic levels, just human to human. And so in some ways, I feel it's a duty. I guess I would ask a question a different way, and that is, why do people not feel like they should be involved in the community?
Mm-hmm. What are you most hopeful for Tallahassee?
Wow. Hopeful, I think.
Excited.
Yeah, I think raising. I think one of the things I'm hopeful for in seeing this town grow, but grow in ways that are not to use a dirty word, but inclusive, right? That are equitable, that are thought about at the truest sense of what those words mean, not the life that they've taken on in particular echo chambers and discussions. But really what that means is taking one of the poorest zip codes in all of Florida, which sits within our municipal regional area, and lifting that zip code up, because that impacts our future. That there is no future, there's no hopeful future for us as a community if we allow parts of our community to continue to be underserved. And so I think, you know, that is something that I hope for, is that we can get more of the diverse community that we have involved in looking at and finding creative and strategic solutions to solve some of the underserved issue. I'd like to see us be a leader in understanding the changing nature of the changing number of generations that are having to coexist, both in the workplace, in apartment buildings, in common areas, in public spaces, and what that brings to a city, not just strife or disagreement, but also stories that should be being told to one another. So I think we have a very strong community in Tallahassee, lots of stories to tell, very diverse one. What I'd like to see in the future is really kind of embrace that and you know, not necessarily create a through and through oneness, if you will, but at least at the basis and understanding of our history as individuals and how that contributes to the kind of tapestry, right, that makes up where we are today and where we want it to be. Get involved to take it in those directions and, you know, weave those beautiful patterns that we can't even dream of today. So,
sounds good. I like the thought of a tapestry.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think very visual, but also tactile in that kind of way. If there's something, you know, that represents the individual weavers, right, adding their threads, and it's not just their threads, right, their threads to their lives, to this tapestry. The threads are metallic, they're cotton, they're satin, they're mixtures of materials, which represents the sort of diverseness in their lives, their background, their upbringing, their levels of privilege or, you know, suffering or whatever it is that they're going through, their pain, their joy. And those threads make something. And I think I want to see the tapestry that Tallahassee makes not just be random chaos of, you know, snow on a TV screen, right? I'd like to see some beautiful patterns kind of come out of it.
So what keeps you inspired? The series is called Voices That Inspire. So what keeps you inspired?
Again, I think inspiration comes from within for me. I feel an immense duty. I can maybe credit, you know, some of my upbringing, hearing over and over again, you got to leave a room better than the way you came into it. But essentially, wanting to, I guess, be part of something bigger. I feel very connected to people. I feel very connected to stories of people, their history, their future. And I would love, you know, for other people to also feel that as well. And so if I can share some of that internal upwelling of inspiration that I just naturally feel for helping people, for seeing something through, for being a shoulder to cry on, or also being someone who can need a shoulder to cry on, I think that it's just, I want to live another day and I want to see greater things. And the only way I feel that I can do that is to put something into it. And that naturally is my inspiration, the work that I have to do. That takes lots of forms because I have two kids too. So there's work in the house constantly.
Yep. Being a parent.
Yep, being a parent.
Is there anything else you'd want our audience to know about you or about life, your thoughts?
You know, I think and I ponder quite a bit. I have my notebook here with me. I didn't bring anything specific, but, you know, I do a lot, sure, is the short answer to that. If I were to pick one thing, I guess it would be that life is really about what you put in. It's not just about what you get out. Every amount of scientific study, mathematical study, even moving more into, you know, emotional EQs and emotional intelligence and looking at psychology of things, balance. Pulling too far to either extreme puts us in conflict not only with ourselves but with nature, with other people. And so I think if there's one thing that has helped me in my life get through the rough times of losing a parent at a young age, starting a business with partners that maybe weren't always the best people to be there with in businesses, is find balance. Find a way to find that middle road, that middle path between the two extremes, because that's ultimately where I think life upwells. When you get too far to either end, whether it's a political ideology or an emotional, you know, outburst or whatever it is, those extremes are ultimately things that lead us toward less knowledge, less understanding, less hope. And so finding, you know, just today, any day that you have, any moment that you have today or tomorrow, taking a different approach and just saying, maybe I can take the middle path in this and not swing all the way to the other end of the extreme or back and forth. And that might be something as simple as holding a door open for somebody today when you wouldn't have normally done that because you were mad and upset about something, or letting somebody take a parking spot right ahead of you and not getting upset because you're late or, you know, you're running behind or you forgot something. Find a different middle way to do it and just try to integrate that into today, maybe one time.
Great. Thank you.
This is Brian Gibson with I2X Solutions, CEO and founder, and everyone have a great day.